Well, okay, so we are here. It's 1 week after Easter. I hope you had a good week after Easter, after we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. There's a fist up there. Yeah. So we like some enthusiasm. You know, and I was thinking, like, if we lived back in that day, and Scripture says that Jesus, for 40 days after he rose from the dead, he appeared to people.
Right.
He appeared to his disciples. And at one time, he appeared to over 500 of them. And I thought, you know, if you and I lived in that day, we could have been there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been awesome? Yeah. It would have been amazing, like mind-blowing. Here
yes.
he is in a flesh and bone body. Some of them may have seen him crucified, died on the cross, buried. And here he is walking in front of you
yeah.
with a flesh and bone, a solid body. And he had a specific purpose. For those appearances. He didn't just
right.
appear just to go, wow, look at me, you know, like I'm back.
I'm back.
I mean, Scripture said.
I saw a movie like that.
I know.
Yeah. I'm back.
Yeah, I know. He was back all right. And in a really good way.
You know? Hallelujah.
Because it said he appeared to them for a reason. He talked to them about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, I can only imagine what he might have talked about. We all know, like on the road to Emmaus, it said he spoke to those two disciples. And their eyes were held. They didn't really recognize right at the time on the road that it was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he was explaining to them about himself, that how everything written of him in the law and the prophets and the Psalms had to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And Jesus coming as the Messiah, the way he did, fulfilled over 300 prophecies that were written about him in the Old Testament. They were written, many of them, centuries before.
Correct.
Even actually, some of them. Yeah,
700
and 1,000 years,
even,
before. And we have to remember, we got to remember that the Bible is a prophetic book. Okay?
Yes.
It foretells the future.
Yes.
And you know, Jesus coming as Messiah fulfilled, again, over 300 of those prophecies. And there's really no book on earth like the Bible.
Amen.
Especially when it comes to foretelling the future and then fulfilling it to the very word, the very detail. The probability or odds of that happening, somebody giving a prophecy 500-700 years saying, this is what's going to happen, and then that many centuries later, the odds of that happening, that one person could accurately fulfill it, this is, I mean, I looked some of this up, and people who like mathematics gave this about that those kinds of odds. They said for one person to fulfill just 8 of the 300 prophecies, it would be likening to taking a place like the state of Texas, covering it with silver dollar pieces 2 feet thick, then taking one red silver dollar and in the midst of all those somehow, you know, mixing it all in somewhere, burying it, and then blindfolding a person, give them one opportunity, find the red silver dollar. Now, what would be the odds of that happening? I mean, pretty much it's astronomical and it's zero.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It's like one to the whatever, you know, trillionth possibility. But those are the odds of that happening. And Jesus
yes.
did fulfill
yes.
those prophecies. And, you know, there are other prophecies that he's going to fulfill.
Come
because
on.
There are some that have not come to pass yet that will happen at his second coming and even in the millennial reign of Christ.
Right.
So we can have faith. Right?
Yes.
If he fulfilled those prophecies to the day, he's going to fulfill the ones that are still in the Bible yet to come.
Come on.
In the Old Testament book of Daniel, this is why I had you turn there, that book was written 600 BC. And in the 7th chapter, did I give you the reference?
Daniel 7, 27.
That chapter in particular speaks several times about the coming kingdom reign of Christ on this earth.
Yeah.
One day, he's coming back, and his kingdom reign is going to actually be visible on this earth. He'll set up full dominion. There'll be no more death.
Hallelujah.
No more injustice, no more crying, sighing, no more grave.
No more pain.
Daniel 7:27 says this, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So there's coming a day when every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess and come under his lordship.
Yes.
And the kingdom, it says here, will be an everlasting kingdom, a visible one, where he's going to rule with perfect justice. He's going to rule with mercy, goodness, and love. Won't that be a great time?
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus came the first time, he announced that the kingdom of God was at hand. If you've read the Gospels, you hear him say that. He preached, the kingdom of God is at hand. And it was like he inaugurated.
Yes.
He came and he inaugurated the coming of his kingdom on earth. And what did he do? He healed the sick. He cleansed lepers. He drove out demons.
Yes.
And really, when he was doing this, he was saying that God's rule as king is coming on the scene. It's coming to the earth. And it's broken into the present age.
Yes.
To defeat evil, to defeat the reign of the kingdom of Satan. Isn't that awesome? So God's rule is king and reigning is king. When he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we have to look at what he did to show the kingdom.
Right.
Again, I say he healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers, he cast out demons. He did good things. He loved people. He showed them, he pointed them the way to know the Father. And he would say, tell people, like when he sent his disciples out, he gave them his authority, and he said, do the same thing, right? And tell them what? The kingdom of heaven has come near you.
Hallelujah.
It's like you've touched the kingdom of God. And we believe that Christians now by faith, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you.
Right.
See, it's already, but not yet. Because it's not yet completely visible, but when the kingdom of God and the knowledge of the kingdom lives on the inside of you, then you can bring the kingdom into your sphere of influence.
You can manifest the kingdom.
And we believe Christians now by faith are commissioned and empowered because Jesus said, you go into the world with my authority. And by the Spirit of God, do the works of the kingdom. Bring the kingdom influence to every place that we go. We can have a foretaste of what's coming.
Here's the important thing. The key is that if you're born again, you are in the kingdom of God right now.
Yes.
Not going to be.
Yeah.
You're in the kingdom of God right now. Yeah. And what was that? Daniel 7:27. What's that? Who's going to be reigning with him? Who's going to get the kingdom? Who's going to get the kingdom? If you're born again, guess what? You're going to be getting the kingdom. Remember in Luke 12, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And then he said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yeah.
You and I. See, we're in training ground right now to be able to rule and reign with Christ. What has been taught mostly is Jesus came, and the reason he came is to take your sin, and he's going to die on the cross, and 3 days later he's going to raise again from the dead. And if you believe that, then you got a ticket to heaven. You're going to be, when you die, then you'll go to heaven. That's true. However, that is a very small part of why he came.
Yeah.
You remember what happened at the very beginning? God created everything, then he gave dominion to who?
Adam and Eve.
Yes. Come on now.
That's right, honey.
And there's the women said, amen! Says, that's real good preaching now. But if we just see a limited reason why Jesus came, we'll only be limited in what we understand about the kingdom.
Yeah.
What we want to do is understand the kingdom.
Yes.
How many times did Jesus, you go, it's unbelievable how many times it was spoken of in the New Testament about the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. Yeah. We've got to understand the fullness of why we're here. Because you and I don't want to live in a limited way and a limited understanding. We want our minds and hearts to be open to understand, what are we doing? We don't want to miss a big part of our mission here on the earth.
Yeah.
We don't want to miss a part of my purpose here on the earth.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to stand before Jesus one day and said, gee, he looks at you and said, you hardly did anything. He might even say, you didn't even get to the first part of your ministry. We don't want that.
No.
We want it completed, amen?
Yeah.
We are here to help establish the kingdom of God. We are here, we establish the kingdom of God first, why and how? First to ourselves. We renew our minds to the word of God. And then we start to apply the word of God in our daily way we think, because you'll butt up against, oh, that was a wrong thought. Oh, that was another wrong thought. And then you go around and say, I don't think this way anymore. I don't think this way anymore. I don't think this way anymore. Am I by myself or what? Yeah. But then you start to think the way God thinks. You start to establish the kingdom of God within you. And then what do? Well, then I'm dealing with my family at the same time. I want my family to understand this. I want my family to understand this. And we work at it. We work at it. And then God is asking you to bring that into the sphere of your life everywhere you go. Because we're establishing the kingdom of God. We renew our mind. We exchange our old way of thinking and we take his way of thinking. We point people to Jesus. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
We are being trained right now to rule and reign with Christ in the millennial reign. We don't want to put this stuff aside. We want to say, no, I want to understand this. Mm-hmm. I want to fully understand this. Because if we don't, then you know what? I don't want to end up being a landscaper in heaven.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
You know what? But there was one time in my life that I had this thing with my eye. I couldn't see out of my right eye. And I told him, Lord, I'm just so glad that I know you, and I'd be happy just to be a garbage man in heaven. But you know what? He has something better for you. He does. If you go to Revelation, you look at the first three chapters, and he says, he who overcomes, look at that phrase, he who overcomes, it's going to be amazing. It's amazing. And he's talking about you and me. If we go and work, and he says, he who overcomes will sit with him in his throne. But, you know, praise God, we're here to help make other disciples.
Yeah, be a laborer in the harvest.
That's exactly right. That way we're going to find our purpose and why we're here on the earth and what are we living for.
Yeah.
What are we living for? You might be thinking, how in the world can I do that?
Yeah, because I mean, establishing the kingdom isn't just, you know, about supernatural things.
Right.
It's about learning to love and serve other people.
Come on.
This is what Jesus did. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And so this is part of establishing the kingdom of God, too.
Absolutely.
To learn how to love and serve others, like with our time, our talent, our treasure, to be a blessing to others. We're supposed to be learning to give our life away.
Yes.
Right? And you would be thinking, how am I supposed to do this? When you hear this, you might be like, I can't do all that. And you can't. We can't do it in our own strength.
Come
this
on.
That's why we've been talking some weeks past about Jesus saying, you know, you're going to need power. You're going to need to be endued with power from on high to be a witness for me.
Yes.
We do need the power of God. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We want to say, God, like, I need everything. I need all the power.
Yes.
That can work through me in order to be a witness for you in the earth. Because when you do see the bigger picture like this, you recognize, I need some help.
Major help.
You can't just walk out the Christian life in your own strength. You'll fail. Because the scripture says it's not in your own strength that we are working this out. It's in his strength.
Yes.
He's all the while at work within us. And he's creating the desire to do his will. But that demands that we lean deeply on him.
Come on.
That we get up in the morning and we don't just run off on our day and do our own thing. It's like, Lord, you're in charge of my day. Like, you're the Lord here. Help me. And of course, we promote sitting with the Lord, with
yes.
the Holy Spirit, and reading just a chapter a day. We're going to make another plug for getting involved in our yearly reading plan
yes.
on the app. It is just awesome. Your life will be changed. I guarantee it. If you read one chapter a day and just think about what he's saying and just participate in that.
Add to the comments. Yes.
Yes, you will. But we're all called by God to live for him. Every saved person is to live a life, you know, of kingdom purpose.
Right.
And meaning at its very center. And when you decide to go all in, that's really when it gets good and it makes sense.
Come on.
You got to go all in. Because Jesus even said a kingdom divided yep. against itself
That's
will
good.
Fall. So we don't really add Jesus to our life. I mean, this is part of this ticket to heaven idea.
Right.
I gave my life to the Lord. I'm good for the rest of whatever the years I live. I do my own thing. And when I die, I go to heaven. That's not, you really won't even live a productive, fruitful Christian life
right.
with that kind of thinking.
Come on.
We don't add Jesus to our otherwise busy life. He's really meant to become the center of our life.
Come on.
You know, God created us this way. I mean, he's the giver of life, so he's to be the center then of our life. And his intention is that the meaning and purpose and direction of our life comes from knowing him.
Yes.
We aren't meant to live some aimless life. And some of you might be thinking, well, I'm far from an aimless life. I'm just so busy. I don't even know, you know, what to do next. I have so much on my plate. How many of you could
yeah.
say you feel like that?
Nobody's yeah. busy?
Everybody's busy.
Yeah. Oh. Gee.
But
you better get busy.
With God's stuff, yeah.
With God's stuff.
But, I mean, you might be lead a very busy life. I don't know if anybody, you know, that isn't feeling like I'm just going burning, you know, candle mm-hmm. at both ends. It's just,
yeah.
life is just busy, busy, busy. Most everyone in here would say that. But busyness can also mean that you're going in maybe too many directions.
Come on.
I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10.
Come on.
We're going to look at this scripture. Luke 10, starting with verse 38. Do you remember the story of the sisters, Mary and Martha?
Come on.
Jesus teaches us an extremely important principle about the priorities of our life.
Come on.
This little story here.
Very good.
Luke 10 starts with verse number 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and mm-hmm. asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. She's like, I got so much stuff going on. You know, I'm worn out just trying to make this all happen. And look what the Lord answers. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one.
There.
Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken away from her. Busyness in our life doesn't mean you're living close to Jesus. You might come to church every week, sit here for an hour and a half or whatever it might be, walk out of here, and the rest of your week is just go, 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 go. Filled like with your own distractions and priorities and worries. Martha was actually right in the next room. Think about it. She was close in proximity to Jesus, but she was too distracted to be listening
right.
to what he was saying, hearing, because there was just other things preoccupying her mind. She was distracted by all the cares of life. And I think back on my own life, you know, when we began to just, when these truths began to dawn.
When we
us,
started to become all in.
Yeah. I mean, my life at that point didn't take on, I was 35 years old, like didn't take on true meaning, direction, and purpose till
right.
I was 35 years old. And I was, it was, to look at our life, I was a busy mom. I worked full time as an RN, a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
We were raising two children. You know, but looking back, it just seemed as though when I understood the meaning of life, that God had actually had a plan and purpose for our life that didn't look like what we were doing. It was like, no wonder I felt like I was on a hamster wheel, like going around and around. I'm just busy. I'm going around and around until Jesus got my attention.
Come on now.
And he's like, get off the wheel and see what life is really about.
And we aren't meant to be on that hamster wheel. We're not meant to just live a busy life and running on empty all the time and go over here and then go over here, aimless here, aimless there. Listen, Jesus is life. He's the giver of all life. So wouldn't you think that he could define life for us?
Yeah. If we ask him.
If we ask him.
Take time.
You know? We got to ask him, what is our life about? He wants you to be involved with the kingdom. Come on now. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to find out how to truly live life when we go all in with Jesus.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? Again, we renew our mind with the word of God. We start to put it all in practice. And when you start to do that, like a whole new world opens up to you.
Yeah.
Just like yeah. Pastor Mamie said, 35, we finally figure out what we were supposed to do. So if you listen, you young guys, I'm telling you right now, don't fall for it if you're in high school. Okay, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? You know what the best answer is? Follow Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know exactly. I mean, Jesus said if you're born of his spirit, it's like the wind blowing. You'll find where you're supposed to go. Come on now. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you go all in, your life starts to blossom. It's like going to the lake or going to the ocean. You could go to the ocean, sit on the beach. But if you get a goggles on and you go in the water and you swim underwater, whoa, a whole world opens up to you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's like what you do when you open yeah. yourself up yeah. to the Lord and what he wants to
yeah.
do. What do you tell his disciples? What was that prayer we pray? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We are to help bring about the rule and reign of his kingdom.
Yeah.
And at the day of Pentecost, like it said, Pastor Mamie was just saying, you can't and I can't do this without his help. In the day of Pentecost, Jesus told them, they were with him for 3 years. He said, hey, guys, don't go anywhere yet. Then they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they went out, and what did? They changed the world. The world.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you go all in with Christ, you're going to find your purpose in the kingdom. We don't want to be having our life spent on things like Martha that at the end it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking us, you know what? Pick up your cross, follow him, walk by faith. He's saying to you and to me, get out of the boat.
Yeah.
Get out of the boat and walk on water with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to ask you to do things you've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to ask you to do simple things and then things that really are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 10. You know, he's going to challenge us.
Mm-hmm.
But we face the challenges understanding that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is helping us do this.
Yes.
This again, you got to lean deep into him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says what? For we are his workmanship. Yeah. Let that sink in. We're his workmanship. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Mm-hmm. Which, this is amazing, God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Yeah.
Again, he's going to ask us to do some simple things, and he's going to ask us to do some challenging things.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do it because we'd be empowered by the Spirit. And when we do this, we're going to find our purpose. We're going to find a life that is an abundant life. It's also going to train us to rule and reign with Christ in his kingdom.
Yeah. Really, life gets exciting when you begin to go all in. You're like, I don't even know what this all means, but
right.
I know you're good. And I know that's good enough for me. This is how we get out of the boat. It's like I think of these two ladies who went to Cuba. You broke a barrier, right?
Yeah.
I can't do this. I can't. You discovered you could. It's like, how did I do that? You did it because you wanted to obey, number one. It takes the desire to obey.
There.
And then God meets you right there. When you feel like you're still not here. And then as soon as you go, you're like, oh my gosh, I did it. You know, sometimes we want to feel the strength whenever we're like, I can't. But we have to keep our eyes on him.
He's
saying, if you just walk with me, the strength will come. And it's like, we could sometimes go tiptoe at first. And then when you realize he's trustworthy,
yes,
it gets so much easier to keep taking those steps and taking those steps. It's like, if he met me back there, he'll meet me here.
Amen. Right?
And it's exciting.
Yes, it is.
It's an exciting life. Like when I think about, like in the Bible, we have like five things here that you see some general consistent purposes, kingdom purposes that God has,
yes,
for his people. The one is you were planned for a loving relationship with God. We have this up on the screen if you flip that up there. You
there
were planned
you
for a loving relationship with God.
That's
God
awesome.
God loved you from the foundation of the world. When you begin to read Ephesians chapter 1, you realize, what? You knew me from the foundation of the world and you loved me and you had a plan for me?
Come on.
And
now,
then he said, I adopted you into the family. That's what he tells us in Ephesians 1. You were formed to be a part of God's family.
This is good news.
This is really good news. Because this is when, you know, all the people in the body of Christ become your the family of God.
That's right.
And then you were created to become like Christ. We're born of his Spirit. The
wow.
Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you to help us to grow spiritually. See, he's going to keep prompting you. Take another step.
Yep.
Take another step. It is not just a ticket to heaven. I got it in my back pocket. No.
Yeah.
It's far more than that. You were shaped for serving God. Like God wired you in certain ways with your personality and gifting so that you could serve God.
Yes.
And really serving God means serving and loving people.
Yes.
Because God loves people and we're his hands and feet in the earth. So if we're going to serve God, he's going to take your gifts and say, I want you to love and serve other people.
Amen.
And then you were, of course, what we're talking about, made for a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Life isn't just about doing, you know, the thing that the world will tell you. Make all your money, save, you know, everything you can, do it all for yourself. You are made for a kingdom mission.
Sweet.
Kingdom purpose. So let's go back to Ephesians 2:10 for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this again. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That was such a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
When we were 35 years old. It was like, what? God had good works for me? I never asked you about this, Lord. Have you ever asked the Lord? If you begin to ask, well, what are these good works? I mean, often it's just do the good right in front of you.
Yes.
When you see a need,
right,
meet it. It begins, God will direct a moving vehicle.
That's
you
good.
Know, if you just sit and park all the time, he's going to say, well, just get up and start and help somebody in front of you. And you begin to find how he's wired you.
Yes.
You know, some people will find, they're going to like to disciple. Some people, like Susan, you know, just serve. I want to just get in there and Dan or husband. It's like, just give me something with my hands to help people and serve. So as we get moving, God begins to actually begin to show you what your
Come
gift
on.
Is.
That's for sure.
And so he's going to use your personality.
Yes.
In all of these things for the sake of the kingdom. You were put on the earth to let the light that God has in you shine.
Come on.
And make a difference in the life of other people.
That's right.
To make Jesus known to people. To stand up like for the marginalized.
Yep.
And build the kingdom of God by loving and serving other people. I mean, we're meant to do good, like to contribute for the good where we are.
You know what?
Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is part of establishing the kingdom. And to give something back.
Right.
Like sometimes, you know, there. To pay it forward. We've all heard that. Like do something good to pay it forward.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy sometimes for people to just take the easy path. You know, we sort of like
this
to receive.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, we look for a handout. You know, we want to be a spectator. We want to be a consumer. We give little effort. You know, that's what this world system is telling us.
Yeah.
It's trying to cause you to be dependent on the system. It's trying to tell you that you're a victim. Listen, you're not a victim.
No.
Unless you decide you are.
Not in Christ you aren't.
You know, because God has a plan for your life. It's a kingdom plan.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond what you think you can do.
Yeah.
It's greater than what you think you can do. Because we're doing it with Him. We're to be influencers for good. And everything. That means stand up for righteousness. Say what's wrong is wrong and what's right is right. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
And that's going to get really important in the days ahead.
This system will tell you that you are a victim and it will pity you. The world system will pity you so that you become dependent on the system. And then when you're dependent on the system, if you look at the whole picture of everything, then they got you. Then they got you. And it's called control, you know. We don't want to be controlled by anybody but the Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen.
That's so true. You know, 1 Peter, let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter is before 2 Peter. You guys are amazing. We know the Bible.
You know, when you talk about this, the system and, you know, the system, meaning the world system.
That's right.
You know, can make you feel like sometimes you're just so broken and give you, like you said, a lot of pity.
Very good. And, yeah.
You know, you may have come through the school, as they say, of hard knocks. Maybe your life wasn't great.
Yeah.
But you do have the greater one in you.
Come on now.
We have to remember. The greater one is in me, though. My whole life is redefined. I'm his workmanship.
Yes.
I'm not who I was. Look at this.
1 Peter. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 9. This is your true identity, folks. Look at this. If you're born again, this is talking about you. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Glory to God. You know, we come to him, sinners saved by grace.
Yeah.
But he doesn't leave us there. Do you understand that? Now, when you come as a sinner, you kneel down before him and give him your life. You're born of his spirit. And you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That old man passed away. You're no longer that. You're no longer a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. You're a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
You are a royal priesthood. You're chosen people.
Yeah.
This is where we got to wake up to. Yeah. Then the Holy Spirit takes us on this path. He says, okay, we can cut this off of you. You don't need that anymore. That's the wrong idea. Oh, don't think that way. Stop this talk. It's called sanctification. Yeah. It's the Bible word, sanctification. Yeah. You're actually just growing up in the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
You're getting out of diapers, and you're going to start to crawl, and then all of a sudden you're going to start to walk, and then it's called sanctification. The Holy Spirit prunes us, and we want to be pruned. Why? Because we're learning how to rule and reign with Christ when it's time.
Yeah.
We don't want to fall behind, amen? God is so good.
And you know, when I think about sanctification, it's like we all come into the kingdom with a lot, holding a lot of old baggage.
Come on now. Right? Yes, you do.
You know, in our character, in our thinking, like what you're saying. And it'll hinder us from who God's called us to be and made us to be if we don't pursue knowing, show me, help me. And this is part of the pruning. This is part of God saying, you need to cut that off. Or you need to break that barrier that's holding you back. Go ahead and do that. He'll prompt us to do these things. The church is made up of ordinary, everyday people.
Come on.
But we're chosen and special to God. And being filled with His Spirit, you know, we are to be contributors to life. We bring life on the scene in our home, in our relationships, on the job. We're to build wherever we are, whatever sphere of influence we have. And it really does start in our homes. Your homes
absolutely.
Are like your first place of discipleship.
Yeah.
This is where God trains us how to raise up a disciple.
Come on.
And He's going to do it with your own unique personality.
See, there you go.
God's going to use every part of your life in order to shape you for the good works, the kingdom works that He has for you to do.
Come on.
And lots of things in our life, our family life, our close relationships, you know, how we grew up, circumstances, maybe that were beyond our control.
Right.
Painful experiences have a way of shaping us, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Every one of us have experienced some painful things in our past.
Yeah.
And of course, the devil then wants to make you think that what happened to you makes you, you're misshapen. Now you've become a misfit.
Ooh.
And even if you come into the church, well, deep inside, people often still feel like, I don't know if I fit here. I don't
Come
know
on.
If I fit here.
This
but like
is,
what Pastor
good.
Steve was saying, you become the righteousness of God in Christ. You're a family member.
Right.
You know, God still has a cleanup job in all of us to do.
True.
With sanctification. But when we hold on to our real identity, we can get rooted then.
Hallelujah.
And the biggest part, sometimes the biggest things that have been painful in our life, you know, God will use that biggest hurt if you give it to Him. Mm-hmm. If you go to Him for healing, because He's the healer.
Amen.
He'll comfort you. He'll show you. He'll counsel you through many different ways. So that when other people come with the same issue, you're like, I know what you're talking about. Let me help you understand, like, this is how the Holy Spirit helped me. It becomes a form of your ministry to other people when we let the Lord heal our own broken, painful places in our heart.
So true.
And so what the devil means for our destruction, we have to remember Jesus is a redeemer.
Come on.
He can redeem whatever was stolen from us and give back grace upon grace. To actually make it far better than you ever thought. He can do exceedingly abundantly, Scripture says, far and above all that you can ask or think.
Praise God.
According to the power that's within us. That should make us happy.
Yeah,
smile,
man.
Joyful. Be like, this is awesome. There's potential in my life to change. Like,
yes.
I am God's masterpiece. That's what that word means. You're His workmanship.
Yes.
That word in the Greek actually carries the meaning of a masterpiece. In other words, God has put things together in your life to make something beautiful.
Glory to God.
We have to think these ways, that I've been empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit Himself.
Yes.
To do some good works for God. Your life has meaning and it has purpose. I mean, this is on the screen. You're not who you think you are.
Come on.
You're not who they say you are. You're who He says you
Come
are.
Come on now.
Yeah. We just sang that song this morning, right? I am who you say I am.
Yeah, that's right. See, He's prepared you for good works. He's ordained you to do good works.
Yeah.
God has uniquely qualified you through your life, your personality. God loves variety.
Hallelujah.
He loves variety. Come on now. You know what's crazy about this? I looked this stuff up. For instance, God made over 300,000 species of beetles. He loves variety.
Yeah. Was that like creative overkill? Like, why not stop at the beetle at 100,000? Yeah.
Now, this was my favorite one.
Oh, no.
In 1 cubic foot of snow, there is an estimated 18 million snowflakes, and not one of them are alike. And the only one who notices it is God.
That's right, yeah.
He loves variety. He loves variety. Heaven is going to be so wild because we're going to have people from every continent, every nation,
yeah.
every tongue, every tribe.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. But right now we're learning how to rule and reign with him. In the millennial reign.
Yeah, yeah.
See, he's shaped you uniquely to fulfill your purpose and your mission right here where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this, Psalm 139. I love this. He's made you for good works. He's Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. Oh, I love to hear those pages turning. This is really good. He says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb.
Yeah.
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complexed. Your workmanship is marvelous and I well know it. Wow.
Yeah. So from these verses, we can see a couple things. We can see a few things like, for one thing, I'm uniquely made.
Yes.
Uniquely made. It's just true. No two people in the whole world have the same footprint.
Yeah, there you
fingerprint,
go.
You know, I think voice print. I mean, I think AI may be able to match it to, you know, they say, oh, 99%, but in the end, it's still a fraud.
Come on.
It's not you. God gave you your unique voice print, footprint. I mean, people say, well, you could then say that God broke the mold whenever he created you because there won't be another like you. And why did he do this? Because he does like variety.
Yes.
And he makes you different from other people because I think he wants us to know how special you are. It's
Amen.
Like, well, I'm going
to. Yeah, the second thing we see in this is that I'm wonderfully complexed.
Complex, yeah.
How many people are married to someone wonderfully complex?
None of the men raised their hand. I'm surprised. Sometimes, yeah, we're
yeah.
so complex.
Yeah. Yes.
We're a mystery to ourselves.
And, well, that's for sure.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Think about your DNA. This is another thing I looked up. The complexity inside our bodies is off the charts. Your body contains 100 trillion cells.
That just happens to be a billion times 1,000 times 100, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, thank you. The human calculator.
Our minds are on tilt already. Like, what kind of number is that? Yeah.
And each one of those cells contains your DNA. And if you took a DNA, all the information in one DNA, you would fill up 1,000 books with 600 pages each.
This is your genetic code. Yeah.
If you took your DNA, which is only 5 inches long, but it's 50 trillionths of an inch wide. And if you connected all of those, you unwound your DNA and connected all of those, it'd be 95 billion miles long.
For every cell in your body, all
yep.
the DNA connected.
It would go around the world 4 million times. That's in you.
You didn't know you had that much in you, did you?
That's all in you. See, you are specially made by God for his purpose. And we found out what is one of his purposes.
Yeah.
So we could be loved by God.
Yeah. You were shaped. We were shaped for kingdom purpose.
Come on now.
God knit you together. God knew what he was doing. You're not here by accident.
Come on.
You're not here to just take up space. God made you for a reason.
Amen.
He knew and he saw you in your mother's womb. Think about that. He loves you.
Yeah.
And you do matter to God. You matter deeply to God. I mean, so much Jesus proved it by dying on a cross so that you could have a relationship with God and even understand these things.
Yes.
So we don't live a life that's just purposeless, aimless, going in all directions, busy, 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 and miss the whole point.
Yes.
He shaped you for his kingdom purpose.
Yes.
And to be loved by him. That's really our number one purpose, is to know his love.
Yes.
Because otherwise it just becomes a bunch of works that we do for God. But the Ephesians in chapter 3 tells us that we should pray that we would be rooted deep in God's love.
Yes.
This is the very rooting of our life, that we would know his love for us. And then as we walk with him in that love, you realize I'm shaped for a kingdom purpose. I am uniquely made that he loves me.
Yes.
And he wants you to be a part of his body. The church becomes the body of Christ. That's pretty intimate when you think about it.
It's amazing.
You're a part of his body, and you belong then to a family, the family of God. You do belong somewhere. Like something.
Yes.
There's a lot of people, even though we're on social media all day long, people can feel very isolated and still alone. But you belong to the family of God, and then God has ordained that people belong together in local bodies of Christ, like
yes.
a church, where we can get to know each other and encourage one another, pray for one another, and do life together.
Yes, yes.
Serve other people. That's when life takes on meaning. When you get a little bit out of yourself, it's not just me and what I'm doing and my money and my job. And when you start looking outward, Jesus came to serve. He gave his life as a ransom for many.
Come on.
When we begin to get our eyes outward, our whole life begins to change. And so we're here this morning. We're going to close this morning. I guess it's time. We prayed at the beginning. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would begin to show us what kingdom living is about.
Yeah.
And I believe he's doing that. I believe he did that through this message. And so I just want you to bow your head for a moment. Just think a little bit. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? I hope we've been praying that you would feel and know just how special you are to God. Is he opening up your eyes to see a much bigger story of the Bible and that you actually fit into it?
Yeah.
You fit into it. For such a time as this, you're here.
Come on.
So that you could live for kingdom purposes. It's far bigger. Far bigger than what sometimes our little mind and understanding can make up. God had you in mind from the foundation of the world. And he chose you in love.
Yes.
He chose you in love. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Jesus made a way for you to be adopted into his family. You're his workmanship. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to really think about that. He's saying, you're my workmanship. And, I think about that old inspiring quote, and God don't make no junk.
That's right.
He didn't make a mistake. So, Father, I pray that each person in here, Lord, would feel and know your deep and abiding love for them. I pray they would feel and know how special they are to you. And that even though there may be past mistakes and sins and painful experiences that have made them feel misshapen and like a misfit, Father, I pray you would let each person in here know that because you do forgive sins, you do wash them away when people confess them to you, that you can redeem the mistakes and the sins and the painful things of our past. You are the great Redeemer, Jesus. You are the healer. You came to give us life abundantly. I pray, Lord, you help each person in here to believe.
Yes.
They are who you say they are. Your workmanship, created and designed by your hand to do kingdom works that you plan for them to do. Lord, show them these things. I pray, Holy Spirit, you just begin to stir up the gift and stir up the understanding within them. Help them to think beyond what they've thought before.
Yes.
And I pray, Lord, that they would make a decision to live a kingdom life, to slow down, sit at your feet, Jesus, and learn of you. Trust you and tell you, Lord, I pray that every one of us would say, I'm going all in.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, Jesus, you're worth it all. I'm all in. I want to do your will for my life. Not part of it, but all of it. I pray, Father, that in this room and the people at the sound of my voice, Lord, they're giving themselves completely to you. You gave yourself completely to us. Let us be people that respond with our whole heart.
The mission of this church is to help you know God, to find purpose and experience life. And knowing God begins with Jesus. We said this earlier, Jesus came and he died on a cross and he rose from the grave, giving us a chance at new life, a life with meaning and purpose, with direction that comes from him. And it begins with you just saying yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. You just say, yes, I want my sins forgiven. I want this new life that you're offering for me. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand high enough so that I can see it. You can slide it right back down and we'll pray. And the miraculous thing is that the Holy Spirit will recreate you and you'll be born of his Spirit.
Is there anybody in here today? Do you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit? Don't resist. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for eternal life. We thank you, Jesus, that you died on that cross to forgive us of our sins. Help us to walk in that newness of life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.